All right. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to The Chord Podcast. I'm Nate Dawes. I'm the Arts and Life editor for The Chord this semester, and I'm sitting down today with Arts and Life contributor Maddie McGrath. How are you doing today, Maddie?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing just well myself. So, Maddie, you've been writing for The Chord since November, and I think it's fair to say that you've kind of landed on a niche for yourself. What you do isn't exactly what everyone else does. So can you speak, just as we get into this, about what it is that you submit every month?
I submit a Let's Make article, I guess, and I mainly focus on cooking and baking articles, and I like to share recipes, but I'm also doing some, like, DIY articles, and mainly the inspiration from that just comes from my experience with cooking and baking, because I've been a home baker for a while and I have my own small business selling baked goods and desserts, and then I also work in a kitchen, so I just have, I guess you could call it, expertise. It's not like very culinary, like, expert in that sense, but, like, I have been working for a while and I've had my business for a year now, so it's been fun, and I think it's interesting to be able to share recipes that I've been kind of perfecting, so that's what I wanted to do with The Chord, and hopefully just, like, inspire people to, I don't know, at least just try recipes. I think it can be kind of intimidating for a lot of people, but I wanted to make them more accessible, and they're, like, not hard, they're cheap to make, and hopefully fun.
Yeah. So you're saying perfecting that kind of thing. Do you write all of these recipes yourself?
Yeah, I take inspiration from other recipes sometimes. And, like, I have a lot of family recipes or things that I picked up at work. And then I just put my own spin on things and perfect them over time. Mm-hmm. I'm always experimenting, basically.
That's fair. You say family recipes. Is your family a big cooking family, that kind of thing?
My great-grandmother was, and, like, we have her old recipe boxes, so I use a lot of those, and I like to look at the old recipes. Reading the handwriting can be hard, but it's fun, and I'm, like, the main cook in my family now. I make dinner, like, almost every night, but it's fun for me.
That is really cool. You're kind of carrying on a tradition from a few generations back, that kind of thing. What made you want to start your own business for this? Because that's a big step.
Yeah. Basically, I started it last year after I was on an abroad opportunity for my first year, and I got cut short because we were studying in, like, an old castle, and then it shut down.
Wow.
Because, like, the castle was literally crumbling.
That's incredible.
Yeah, so then I came home, and we had the opportunity to go study on main campus. This was with Queens, but I didn't want to stay with Queens anymore. So in the meantime, while I was figuring out where I wanted to transfer, which ended up being Laurier, then I just decided, because it was, like, kind of floating around in my head for a while to have my own business, but since I had the extra time, then I just thought it'd be good time to do it, and I just work out of my own kitchen, and it's been growing steadily. Like, I have a social media account that I take orders through and everything, but
yeah. Well, I'll make sure to ask you what that is at the end so you can plug it.
Sure.
So quickly, what made you want to shift to Laurier?
Well, mainly it was I wanted to be closer to home, because I was really keen on traveling, and then after I was away, I realized that I am more of a homebody, and I do enjoy traveling and exploring, but at the end of the day, I do want to be at home, primarily with my cat, because he's my baby. But I think Laurier was intriguing to me because I was originally enrolled in Con Ed, and I am still considering potentially doing education after my undergrad, but while I was away, I took a film course, which we talked about a little earlier, and actually, although some of it was boring because it's about the history of film, I did have, like, a lot of interest in it, and it kind of inspired me to pursue it as my actual major, and Laurier's description and everything just sounded really interesting to me and the most appealing, and I'm also minoring in English, so since they're, like, a joint program, it sounded right up my alley, so.
So you mentioned minoring in English. That presumably is that what led you to volunteer with the Chord?
Yes.
That kind of interest in writing? What talk a bit about your kind of philosophy when it comes to writing. What made you minor in English, and why do you write for the Chord?
I've always been interested in writing. It's one of my passions besides like creating in the culinary space. I guess this is a different type of creating. I like to kind of write like poetry or short stories if I have free time, and I thought it would be really cool to actually have my work published, which the Chord is a cool opportunity for that. So I was excited when I learned about the fact that that existed, and I've been having a good time with it so far.
Mm-hmm. The things you're saying about this kind of wide-ranging interest in creating kind of gels with what it is that you submit to the Chord, because like you were saying earlier, like you can't really put it directly in a box. It's mm-hmm. it's not just cooking. Saying that it's let's make stuff is probably most applicable, because you're not just making food, you're not just making any one thing. Philosophically, do you find that there's anything specific about making, about cooking and doing DIY things, that is like special to you?
I think it's definitely rewarding, because when you're able to make something yourself, like my business is literally called Homemade by Maddie, just because I think it's really fun to like see something come to life and to know that you made it yourself. And I think making that accessible to other people and hopefully encouraging them to try it too, like it's really good for your mental health too. I find it to be stress relieving to bake. And it's just like, it was a fun hobby and now it's becoming more than that. It's like maybe going to be my career. I don't know.
Well, I agree 100%. I went on exchange last semester to Ireland, and just with the different prices of ingredients over there, actually starting to cook more complex things was one of the biggest changes I made to my lifestyle at the time. And it was absolutely something which it's so fulfilling to sit down, or not sit down, there's not much sitting down in it, but to actually go from building blocks to finished product in that way, in that kind of like seeing the thing come together as more than just the sum of its parts, is having done that is so fulfilling. So the specific article that I wanted to talk to you about a bit was these wellness shots, how to make wellness shots that you submitted in December. First of all, when you're submitting to the Chord each month, what is it that makes you decide what it is that you want to actually write in any particular issue?
I kind of just have like an ongoing list of recipe ideas. And then recently what I've liked to do, which kind of started with the December article, is kind of structure what I want to write based on a theme of sorts. So for December, since it's like cold and flu season, also exam season, there's lots of reasons why. Like the wellness shots are good for any time of year, but they would be specifically helpful at this time. So that's why I wanted to write them for December, or write about them in December.
Mm-hmm. One thing it's easy to note is that the student lifestyle, as it's kind of sold to everyone, is not exactly known for its the diligent attention paid to health foods and keeping your body running perfectly. So especially at exam time, that is a very good idea for something to submit. In the piece, you kind of talk about these wellness shots being something that you've used, something you've made for a while in your personal life. Where does this particular recipe come from?
Well, I started actually making them last year when I got home from the exchange, because I was in kind of a slump, like mentally and physically. It was upsetting for that opportunity to be cut short. And then since I wasn't at the time working or in school, I was just like not feeling very motivated, and also it was winter time, so in general not feeling the best. So then I wanted to take steps to kind of prioritize my physical and mental health, and that seemed like an interesting way to go. I've always heard about like juice cleanses, which I did try once and it was horrible. I didn't get past the first day. But this seemed like a better alternative because it's really quick and easy to do, and then you just take it in the morning and you feel good the rest of the day.
Like you're kind of talking about the health space is, it's kind of full of these kind of fatty kind of, you know, things like juice cleanses and like real boutique kind of diets. Mm-hmm. Is there anything you do in particular to try to stray away from things like that when you're putting together kind of modern health advice when it comes to cooking and making things?
I think in general, I stray away from that in life. I am a foodie at heart, and I don't enjoy like listening to anything about diet culture or engaging in that. But I do think it's also important to prioritize your physical health. So finding like that happy medium and just encouraging people to, I don't know, do what's best for their body, I guess. And find, like I said, that balance, I think, is important. So I think my articles incorporate that as well. There's no real focus on it, but it's more of an underlying thing.
Mm-hmm. You've also submitted things that are just straight up food for the cord. You talked in November about submitting, or you wrote in November a penne alla vodka recipe. It's for things like that. It's sometimes more difficult to, especially with that, which kind of was exploring a food which had gone viral for its creation by an influencer. It's sometimes harder to make it explicitly a health thing. Do you have a different philosophy when going into making more robust foods like that, or?
I think at the end of the day, it's about enjoying the food that you make. But in terms of something like that, I think in the article I mentioned, like, you could pair it with a salad. So something like that. Like, I just want my articles to reflect how I live in my own life. So when I'm making dinner for my family, I try to make it as well-rounded as possible. But also, it's nice to just have a yummy bowl of pasta at the end of the day.
I can agree with that, definitely. And I think that kind of speaks to the problems with diet culture that we were kind of gesturing at earlier. It's like beyond being kind of fatty and kind of pretending it's one size fits all, it's also like famously toxic when it comes to like putting expectations on people. And by kind of breaking up that kind of narrative and just putting things that are good, that taste good,
yeah.
On the menu and stuff like that, it can do some work to trying to tear down that kind of wall or that kind of those kinds of expectations that society can put on people, especially young people, especially mm-hmm. people who are like students, especially women.
Yeah, exactly.
Things like these. Obviously, they affect us all, but like you're kind of pointing out, everyone's body is different and everyone's going to be dealing with this in their own way. Do you, when you're are these kinds of questions things that you're actively thinking about both when you're writing for the cord or when you're putting together things for your business for things like this?
It's always in the back of my mind, especially like growing up with social media, thinking about those kinds of things, like it's always with me. But in terms of my business and then also just writing about food, I try to just stick to things that I know will work and taste good, but if they also happen to be good for you, then I think that's great. I've considered doing some alternative recipes, like with my business, people have expressed an interest in trying like these protein style desserts and whatnot, and I would consider it for sure, but I also like to stick to what I know in the sense that I personally don't eat like that, so I can try and make it for other people, but I want people to also enjoy what I make them. So while it's important to prioritize health, to me, it's also like you'll feel good if you enjoy what you're making and what you're eating.
That's fair. You mentioned social media there for a second, and I think that's something I'm especially interested in asking about. Maybe this is a personal thing. or a kind of divergence from the central question, but as someone who's trying to run a business dealing with food, social media in the modern day, like, I think most people know that food and social media have a very unique kind of relationship in that it's something that from the outside, like, it seems very inoffensive and it seems like it perfectly suited for social media because the aesthetics of food are so important in marketing. But like, you hear from everyone that it's this uber competitive space, that it's like there's tiny things changing all the time and there's so much about it. What are the, like, what are the biggest things that you've learned from starting your own business about the way that social media and food interact?
One big thing I've noticed is that there is a lot of competing people out there. Like, I think one thing I've done to try and, like, diversify my business in a way is that I focus more on certain types of desserts that aren't commonly accessible. Like, I've kind of done my research and figured out that a lot of people, especially in our area, like to focus on, like, custom cakes or cupcakes, and that's not necessarily my strong suit anyway. Like, I'm learning how to get better at icing and decorating, but I think I'm better suited for, like, muffins and loaves, and, like, I enjoy making those things, and that's honestly what people want at the end of the day. I find people will just order, like, a bunch of sugar cookies for me.
I mean, you're familiar with the cupcake boom, this iconic,
yeah.
Like, kind of, all of a sudden there were cupcake stores everywhere,
yeah.
For some reason, as though, like, cupcakes, and then now they're all gone almost. It's, you can find them sometimes buried in urban cores where there's still enough, like, 29-year-olds who are making enough money from digital media or something to buy them, but it's, your observations are reflected well and very literally in the real world. Do you find that that tendency toward, like, when you say loaves and muffins, there's a very kind of, like, earthy, kind of,
yeah.
Like, almost granola kind,
yeah.
Of quality to those things? Do you try to, like, focus on those things for, why do you think it is that people like those things?
I think, personally, I focus more on the flavor and the taste of things, whereas I think in the baking space in general, people tend to focus more on the aesthetics. And at the end of the day, the average person just wants something that tastes good. And I think the main thing with baking, too, is people tend to be intimidated by it since it comes off as a more, like, scientific approach, whereas with cooking, you can kind of play with it, but baking is more exact. And, like, I'm not a scientific-minded person at all. I'm definitely more arts-minded, as I'm an arts and life contributor. And I think, basically, a lot of people who order from me are just average working people who don't necessarily have the time or energy at the end of the day to, like, make muffins for their kids. And they'll just order some from me, and I'm happy to provide that for them, and I think it's just, like, the basics, but elevated, and you don't need, like, fancy sprinkles or heaps of fondant for it to be worthwhile.
Well, backing off from the risk of just making this sound like a long advertisement for your business, what is it like? Do you find that the experience of running your own business changes the way that you submit to the court when you're writing things? Do you approach it differently after having started this?
I haven't actually written much about things I would make for my business. I focus so far on cooking, but I think in the future, since I am really experienced when it comes to baking, and my goal is to make baking more accessible, I would like to incorporate some of that. But in general, as a business owner, like, I'm just figuring things out along the way. And I guess that can be applied to starting a project like this because I didn't really know what I was doing when I started, but every article I do is just a new learning experience, and I learn more about not only the recipes because I'm experimenting with them all over again when I write, but also just myself as a chef, an amateur chef that is.
Well, I imagine most of the people reading the court are also not Michelin star chefs, so it can help sometimes to have that kind of, like, your perspective reflected in the pages of the court. And if that is maybe appropriate for a student newspaper, is to reflect the perspective of the readers, because that's kind of the whole idea behind having any campus media at all, is making sure that the things in the pages, the things on the airwaves, Radio Luria, are actually reflective of the readers of, and they allow people to find themselves expressed in that way. Anyway, I only have a couple more questions for you.
Okay.
First of all, how long really does it take you to put together one of these recipes every month?
Since I already have some, like, in my back pocket on this working list, then once I figure out which one I want to write about, usually I'll just take time to sit down, and then I do my rough draft, and then I'll come back to it and tweak a few things. But honestly, it's just such a nice release for me. It's like a creative outlet. Since I have to do so much academic writing, then this is more enjoyable, and it doesn't actually take me that long just because I actually like doing it.
I know exactly what you mean. Do you find that you you mentioned that you tend to stray away from things that you do in your business when you're trying to write? Is this also something that's adequately distinct from what you write about? Do you ever write about cooking when you're doing your when you're academic writing, or is this also just kind of something that is kept? This is for me. This is on its own.
Honestly, like, I try and keep those things kind of separate, and that's also why, like, I considered going to culinary school at one point, but it is such, like, a release for me and an outlet that I like to keep those things separate. And, like, for academics, that is a more stressful aspect of life, so I don't really like to mix something that is fun and stress relieving with something that's kind of the opposite. And I would consider a career with baking, but in that sense, it would be kind of on my own terms. Like, I'd like to open a cat cafe, maybe, because that's, like, another one of my passions is helping animals. Like, I'm part of KW Pet Aid on campus, but...
Well, you hear that from a lot of a lot of artists, is like, especially touring musicians, especially filmmakers, people who, like, you start doing this thing because it's your passion, and then you go on the road, you start touring, you have to actually start submitting this and writing applications for grants and things like this, and it kind of just starts destroying your spirit. It feels less fun, and you can't get that same kind of excitement or enjoyment that you would have done when you were young. So that makes a lot of sense. Anyway, Maddie, thank you so much for sitting down with me today. Like I promised, what's the Instagram for your business?
It's at Homemade by Maddie on Instagram. I post pretty regularly, but I'm also busy with school, so.
Well, perfect. Thank you very much. And thank you so much for sitting down with me. I've been Nate Dawes for The Chord podcast, and we'll be back again next month. Thank you very much.